Hey guys, welcome back to Coin Keys, and thank you so much for tuning in. As things sit right now, I have 40 total plays on my first episode. I know, huge numbers. But in all seriousness, I couldn't be more thankful for every single one of those plays. Humble beginnings can lead to great things, and every single one of you listening right now are contributing to making my dream future possible. So please accept this, my heartfelt thanks. My goal today is to explain to you what Bitcoin actually is, not the politicized version that you hear mentioned in the news. Rather, I would like to explore what Bitcoin is on three different levels: technical, practical, and finally the philosophical. The last point is obviously mostly opinion, but please believe me when I say that it is my opinion only after years of carefully considering the implications of what Bitcoin means based on the observable facts. As with any great technological leap forward, there are social and moral implications to adoption. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't explore those with you. Before we get started, I would like to reiterate how much it means to me when you guys rate and review on iTunes. It's super helpful, and I would love to read some of your feedback. Okay, enough with the intro. Let's get into this exploration of Bitcoin and its significance. Part 1. The Technicalities of Bitcoin. In the simplest of terms, Bitcoin is easily transferable digital gold. As discussed in Episode 1, Bitcoin is verifiably scarce. There will never be more than 21 million. This scarcity is what has given rise to the comparison of Bitcoin to gold. In reality, though, Bitcoin is more scarce than even gold. Gold has an annual inflation rate of approximately 2%, as a few thousand tons are added to the total global supply each year. Contrast this with Bitcoin, which has had a hard cap of 21 million total coins since its inception. We know exactly how much will ever exist, and know that no more can possibly be created. This is due to the structure of the algorithm created by Satoshi Nakamoto in the Bitcoin white paper. I will place a link to this in the description if you would like to explore it further. As a result of its extremely scarce nature, Bitcoin is deflationary. This means that its value has a tendency to rise over time, instead of what government-issued currencies do, which is to decrease in value over time. But these are simply manifestations of Bitcoin's design, and that's what we're really talking about. At its most fundamental level, Bitcoin is just software. When multiple people participate in the usage of this software to transfer value, it becomes a network. When you hear people discussing something called the Bitcoin network, this is what they're referring to. The value that these people are transferring back and forth has to come from somewhere, though, right? While the average person's grasp of economics isn't exactly PhD level, we all understand this simple point. Value has to be created somewhere before it can be transferred in the form of money. What, then, gives Bitcoin its value? Mining. Mining is the process by which computers run the Bitcoin algorithm, or software. They solve it and add blocks to the blockchain. When a miner successfully solves the algorithm by essentially guessing a number, they are awarded the contents of the block that they added to the blockchain. This is known as the block reward. In other words, just like in the real world, miners spend resources, their electricity and computers, and perform tasks, solving the Bitcoin algorithm, in order to produce a raw good. Coal miners produce raw coal. Bitcoin miners produce mathematically hashed data points. Both are valuable, albeit in very different ways. While coal can heat a house, fuel industry, and move trains, Bitcoin makes it possible for anyone on the planet to pay for goods and services anywhere in the world with no middleman, no need for government approval, and no possibility of censorship. That is a form of power the people of the world are in desperate need of today. Part 2. The Practicalities of Bitcoin. Bitcoin's primary value proposition is as a vehicle for value transfer. While we won't get into the data storage properties of Bitcoin today, it may be worth a quick Google search for you to understand that Bitcoin has properties that make it valuable as more than just money. For this section of the podcast, though, we'll just discuss Bitcoin as money. The primary issue facing cryptocurrency today is adoption. There are simply not enough people using it as money to make it a viable option for your average person. Yes, there are people, like prominent Bitcoin advocate Andreas Antonopoulos, who are paid in Bitcoin and live off of it full-time. They are, however, the extreme exception. Most people use the fiat currency that their government issues for their day-to-day lives. This is the hurdle that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are going to have to overcome. How can more people be convinced that using cryptocurrency is better than the dollars that they are already accustomed to? If you haven't tried to use Bitcoin, then you are likely unfamiliar with the inconvenience associated with getting your accounts set up, purchasing, and then storing your new money. If you have used Bitcoin, you'll be familiar with hardware wallets, software wallets, private keys, and Satoshi value. This is the practical reality that Bitcoin faces. People are unfamiliar with a new technology, and this particular new technology touches a deeply private and important aspect of their lives, their finances. With any new development in the world of industry, finance, or technology, there's an education gap that has to be bridged in order to get people accustomed to the new thing. As Bitcoin climbs this mountain, there's a good chance that adoption will seem slow, while in reality, the growth being experienced is exponential. See, when you're on the front end of an exponential curve, you don't see the hockey stick move coming on the horizon, until it turns into a wall and smacks you in the face. That day is coming. Time will tell when it arrives, and in what fashion. Part 3, the implications of Bitcoin. When that day we just spoke of does arrive, the world will either already have shifted or will experience a sudden monumental shakeup. See, for approximately 100 years, the global financial system has had major pull in the private financial decisions of individuals. The levers of power used have changed with time, but the results have always been the same. The government as middleman in almost all our financial interactions with each other. As an American citizen, it behooves me to speak primarily of the laws under which I live my life. However, if you look closely at the 189 countries currently listed as members of the International Monetary Fund, or the IMF, I'm sure you will find many similarities in policy and outlook. If you would like to see these policies and such, just go to imf.org. For my American listeners, and really for anyone that believes the US government to be an entirely benevolent overlord, please Google Executive Order 6102 as an example of the government overreaching into the personal financial lives of its citizens. Bitcoin isn't a once-and-for-all answer to all of the economic problems created by centralized governments, nor do I want to make it seem as though I am arguing for doing away with governments entirely. The truth is that we will always need governments. We will also always need money. But since we will always need money, why not try to make it better? We create competition and improvements in everything else in our world that needs improving. Why not currency? This is the real promise of Bitcoin, as a competitor in the world of currencies. The implications of this are massive. For the first time in, well, a long time, the world has a competitor to fiat currency that isn't controllable or regulatable in any meaningfully enforceable way. That was a mouthful, but what I mean is that there is now a very real, very viable alternative to the monies that we are told to use by our governments, and it's better than their money. It is deflationary, borderless, open source, uncensorable, and immutable. It's also decentralized, which is an attribute that promises to dispel many of the issues many of the issues caused by corruption. After all, if there is no central honeypot to gather around and profit from, what position of power do you seek in order to extort others? Bitcoin offers an opportunity for the people of the world, the average people, not the wealthy or powerful, not the heirs and heiresses, not the playboys and moguls. It offers a chance to give the power back to the common man, to the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. It offers us a chance to reclaim a financial future that has slowly been eroded from beneath our feet by the very people entrusted with its safekeeping. Bitcoin is an opportunity to plant our feet on solid ground and move toward a more stable financial future for all. The only question is whether or not we will be bold enough to grasp it. That's all, folks. Thanks so much for downloading, liking, subscribing, and sharing. I can't properly convey how much I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to hear my thoughts on cryptocurrency, and in today's case, specifically Bitcoin. It really means a lot to me. As always, it would be massively appreciated if you would share this episode with anyone you think could benefit from it. And it would also be huge if you took a minute to rate and review on iTunes. I know I say this all the time. It works wonders for podcasts, and this is a podcast, so I wouldn't mind a little dose of wonder, you know? Thanks so much for being here. All the relevant, all the relevant links and such are in the description, and we'll catch you next time.